Hello, Joan. Another busy week in the Vatican.
Oh, the pace has just picked up enormously. You know, we go from summer, where you kind of look for news for several months, to, oh my gosh, there's too much in one day. And that seems to be the case. The Synod and documents coming out and press conferences and so much, which we're going to be talking about. And more or less, I think we'll just hit the highlights of the closing days of the Synod.
Of the Synod that has been underway in the Vatican for three weeks.
For 3 weeks, exactly. So, it began October 5th and it closed last weekend. And there were follow-ups. Well, Sunday, of course, it closed with the Pope's Mass in St. Peter's Basilica, comments he also made about the Synod, asking for prayers and everything else at the Angelus. But the concluding acts, if you will, of the Synod were the Synod Fathers released the final message on Friday. The message has gotten high compliments for the beauty of the writing, of the style of it. And Archbishop Ravasi of the Pontifical Council for Culture did that.
But let's just remember what the theme of the Synod was as well.
The theme, of course. Obviously, the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church. And we have to make very, very clear that the Word of God is, as a capital W word, is Jesus Christ. That is the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And then small w is the Word, is the message that Jesus has given us, and that's what we have in the Bible. And as Cardinal Ouye told me, the Bible is a prayer book. We must remember that fact. So they were looking at both Jesus Christ, but also the Bible, how to bring both of them more into our lives. And the final message in talking about the people of God and the Word of God, they used four images. I thought this was very striking. The divine voice, the voice that penetrates history and time. The face, of course, is Jesus Christ. The house of the divine word is the Church. And then they used the image of the roads, the paths upon which the Word of God travels, and that is the mission. That is the mission of all the ordained ministers of the Church and ours too. I mean, we're doing it just sitting here and doing the show as well. So the message was very, very beautiful. It is available on the Vatican website, so anybody can read it and it won't take that long. And that was Friday. And then Friday afternoon, of course, the names were revealed of the 15 members of the post-synodal council of the General Secretariat. Three are named by the Pope and 12 are elected by the by the Synod Fathers. And then it was very interesting. Friday, it was also revealed what gift the Holy Father was going to give to Synod participants, which is always the case at the end of a Synod. And he gave them a wonderful facsimile of the Bodmer Papyrus. And this is something that dates to the, we're actually talking about the early letters of Luke and John in this, and the Pope himself had received, well, the Vatican received, and the Pope physically received it in his hands, a copy of this. An American businessman gave him the papyrus 14 and 15. And amazing, it contains almost the entire gospel according to Luke and more than half of John. So I think that, you know, what a wonderful gift for a synod on the Bible.
Absolutely.
In the first place.
Very symbolic as well.
Very symbolic, very, very beautiful. And then the Holy Father hosted a lunch on Saturday. He hosted a lunch. And what was really great, the Synod Fathers, this synod was so well organized. That's what the participants told me. That they were supposed to work Saturday afternoon, and they completed their work Saturday morning. They did their voting. The propositions were released, and then they had their lunch with the Holy Father, and they could probably go out and explore Rome if they wanted to after that. However, poor Cardinal Ouye and two bishops held a press conference for the media. It didn't begin until 1:45, so they did miss lunch with the Holy Father. But anyway, I'm sure they got coffee and cake or something like that. And one important thing I should mention is that the patriarchs and archbishops from the Eastern Catholic Churches, who were at the Synod, of course, did deliver an appeal to the Holy Father for their brothers and sisters in the East. And they mentioned specifically, of course, they mentioned Lebanon, and they mentioned Iraq, they mentioned the Holy Land, and they mentioned India, how these people are suffering for their faith, how much violence, you know, unheard of violence is happening to these people. And they said, our hearts are moved by the suffering of so many of our sons and daughters of the East. And, you know, to be honest, as you read the message, you could feel their anguish. You always can, the way they express themselves. And the Holy Father really took that message and made it his own on Sunday at the Angelus. And Sunday was really memorable for several things. Obviously, the closing Mass of the Synod, very beautiful liturgy in St. Peter's. But at the end of Mass, the Pope announced, and boy, this was a totally leak-free announcement. Nobody suspected it. The Holy Father announced that he would be going to Africa in March of 2009.
Right.
Exactly. Because in 2009, in the fall, we should tell our listeners, there is a synod, a special synod for Africa here in Rome. And the working document for the synod will be delivered to African bishops in Cameroon by the Pope. And after that, he will spend some time in Angola as they celebrate the fifth century of their evangelization. So Africa.
This is the first trip this Pope is making to Africa. So it is. It was received with much joy especially from the African bishops.
Without a doubt. And John Paul made something like 10. I don't have the exact figures here, but 10. And I know his last trip was to Nigeria. That was in 1998. So, I mean, you know, 10 years ago. But I should also mention that also in his homily, the Pope spoke of China. He did thank the bishops there and all the faithful for being exactly that, faithful to the successor of Peter. And he mentioned the church very specifically, a very brief message. But he did, you know, express the regret, of course, that several of the prelates from mainland China could not be at the synod, even though naturally they were invited. So we had mention of the situations of violence and anti-Christian violence in so many areas in the Middle East, and we had mention of China, and we had mention of Africa. So the Pope took a little mini verbal trip around the world. And then on Monday, we went to another part of the world because the Pope received the letters of credence of the new ambassador of the Philippines to the Holy See, Cristina Castanet Ponce Enrile. And he had very wonderful things to say about the Philippine people and the church in the Philippines. He noted that the people are renowned for their generosity, the high value they place on friendship and family life, and for their contribution to the life of the local and universal church. And part of the Pope's message did stress the autonomy of state, church. You know, each has its own mission and its own place in society, but that doesn't mean they also can't work together, state and church, to achieve many, many goals that both have for the welfare of people.
You know what really strikes me is that so many of the Filipino ambassadors to the Holy See are women. Have you noticed that, Joe?
Yes. Oh, yes. She replaced Leonida Vera.
Right.
And they are indeed. Well, you have also a woman president of the Philippines. So definitely they play important roles in their nation, and they're recognized for it. So I'd like to do a little count someday and see how many women are accredited to the Holy See. You know, my own ambassador, Marianne Glendon, obviously, there have to be a good number. Hannah Sochotka from Poland, who has been here a number of years and is one extraordinary, exactly, the Australian.
Right.
And we don't want to overlook anybody, but we don't have the list in front of us right now. So, well, I think one other highlight, a highlight we cannot not talk about of the week, was the message released on Tuesday. It's an annual message from the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue on the occasion of Diwali, which is a Hindu feast of light. And the message was entitled, Together in Favor of Nonviolence. And this is signed, by the way, by Council President Cardinal Jean-Louis Taran. But this is a particularly important topic this year because, obviously, Hindus are present in different countries of the world, very, very much so in India. And we know of the anti-Christian violence, terrible, terrible things that have happened in the region of Orissa in India. And in this message, the cardinal said, religions are often blamed for society's ills, but we know it's the manipulation of religion that is actually used to carry out so many forms of violence. And what is particularly striking is that the cardinal did talk, the message talked about, he said, in the Hindu tradition, nonviolence is one of the more important teachings. In fact, he said, Mahatma Gandhi, the father of the Indian nation, respected and held in high regard by people of different generations around the world. Mahatma Gandhi said, and I absolutely, this is so amazing. Gandhi said that an eye for an eye, and soon the whole world is blind. I mean, how can you possibly forget a sentence like that? It really strikes at the core of your being. So the cardinal and the message really focused on the fact that nonviolence is central to our beliefs, in this case, the Christian beliefs and the Hindu beliefs. And he said, let us as religious leaders help foster sacredness of human life and the good of the poor and lonely and the dignity of the human person.
Thank you very, very much, Joan.
See you next week.
See you next week.